Hi, everybody. This is Gene Montarastelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the question, answer, and tapping call for August 27th, 2013. I'd like to remind you as we go through the call tonight, if at any point during the evening you have a question, all you need to do is press star 2, and that will let me know that you are raising your hand if you have called in, or if you're listening to us online. Feel free to simply type a question in on the left-hand side, and I will get that as a reminder for those of you who are listening online, opposed to listening on the phone. There's about a 15-20 second delay between you when you hear what I am saying and when I actually said it. So if you asked a question and it feels like it's taking a little while for me to get to it, that is because it's simply caught in the queue and the time-space continuum before it catches up to me. So again, if you have a question tonight, just press star 2. At any point, we're going freeform. If you got a question, you got something to go after, we'll go from there. I also received a number of emails with questions of people who couldn't be on the call tonight. And so until I get a hand raised or someone typing something into the chat box, I will start with those. So here we go. First one. Last class, when you were talking about self-guilt issues, you said something that I didn't pick up until I listened to the call again. You were explaining how to tell if you need to work on the issue, and you distinguish between guilt and regret. And I'm confused about this because you said that if you were embarrassed to tell someone what you did, then it's guilt. I have several things that I did when I was younger that I'm not proud of that I regret. I can explain why I did these things. They were a product of a difficult time. I regret doing these things, but because I understand why, I don't feel guilty about them. However, someone who isn't familiar with me, my background, and the things that I've had to deal with, so I would feel embarrassed sharing it with them. What am I missing here? Okay, so that's a really good question. So for those of you that missed the call, just a quick little background on this idea of comparing guilt to regret. For me, and again, these are just my definitions of things, and just so that we're on the same page. I find guilt to be a very destructive thing. I find regret to be a very instructive thing. When I regret something, like was expressed in the question here, I want to be in a circumstance where I am able to look at what I did in the past, understand why I did it, understand that I wouldn't want to repeat it again, understand that if I knew now what I knew back then, or knew back then what I knew now, I might make a different choice. And I'm able to see it for what it is. I'm able to learn the lesson and move on, where guilt is something that we get caught up in emotionally and we relive over and over again. And so the example that I gave in the call was, if it's something that you're really embarrassed to share, then maybe there is still some guilt around that issue. And I have a feeling that I didn't include the word maybe, and I just said this is a way of telling a test. And what is brought up here in the question is really useful and important, that there's some subtlety to it. That there's lots of things in my past that I recognize why I did them, that I don't go parading across my newsletter. I don't put them on the website. I don't talk about them regularly. And I certainly wouldn't talk about them to people who don't know me because they don't have that sense of context and understanding where I'm coming from. And so when I gave the recommendation that if it's something that we're worried about sharing with someone else and maybe we have some guilt about it, that might be a little bit strong. And so it's the people we know around us, and that's just a litmus test. It's not the only litmus test. And so if there are things from your past that you've moved on from, the things that I'm really worried about are the things that are showing up consistently that we think about regularly, and that's just a way to measure that. So if it's something that's not coming up regularly, it's not that big of a deal for you in your life, and you can think about it without much concern or hesitation, I would think more about the people who know you well and know where you've come from. And just because you wouldn't want to share it with them, if you had proper time to explain it to them without causing any problem or feeling bad about it, then we know that most of the guilt is taken care of. The other thing that's really important to remember is that it's not an all or nothing proposition, that it's okay on a past issue that if I don't deal with all of the guilt, because it's possible if my guilt goes from an 8 to a 2, that last little 2 that's left isn't really impacting me daily. Now, there are times where a small amount of emotion can still be aggravating us and bugging us, and it might be something worth going after. But if it's something that's not regularly firing off, then it's okay if it's not completely gone away. So I probably overstated it. I'm glad that you thought it through thoroughly and carefully. So that would be my response to that question. If you'd like to follow up a question to that, feel free to just type a question in the box or press star 2 to raise your hand. It doesn't appear that anybody's typed any questions in yet, no hands raised. So we will go on to the next question. Could you give some suggestions on tapping for weight loss? Now, weight release and weight loss it's a really complicated issue because holding weight on the body is the symptom of a lot of different things. It's kind of like I can have a headache because I'm dehydrated. I can have a headache because I was wearing a hat that was too tight all day. I could have a headache because I have a brain tumor and it's pushing on my brain. I could have a headache because I have a sinus infection. And so the sense of having a headache is the same, and the symptoms for that headache are varied. And the same can be true for the weight that our system is holding on to. You know, there is weight that can be released by simply eating better and exercising more. You know, it's a very simple formula. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily an easy thing to do, and it's an easy thing for us to engage with, but you know, oftentimes, if we eat better and exercise more, we're going to lose weight. Now, there's going to be times in which folks can do something like that and they plateau and they stop losing weight. And maybe because it is a diet that isn't working for them. Maybe it's because the exercise isn't right for them. Or it's also possible that there can be some emotional components to why the weight is still being held on the body. There are times, and I've had clients who have been this way, who have felt unsafe in the world, and the way that their system keeps them safe is to keep weight on the body. And they start making really good decisions. They start exercising regularly. They start eating healthily. And as they do that, the system starts to feel scared again, and they self-sabotage themselves. They stop working out. They start binging. They start emotionally eating. They start adding things to their diet that is very unhealthful and unhelpful to them. So because there are so many different reasons that we can find our way into having extra weight that we need to lose, there's no one size fits all. This is how we tap for weight. Now, if I were going to give you a few things to begin with as an entry point into tapping for this, these are a few suggestions that I would offer. The first suggestion that I would offer is I would spend some time on the emotions that you feel about having the weight, the emotions you feel about how you gain the weight, and the emotions you feel about how long you have held on to that weight for. And the reason that I say this is when we enter into something like this, we can feel a lot of shame, a lot of resentment, a lot of failure. And if that's the case, we might feel like that we deserve to have all of the weight. Or it's so painful for us to think about, we're not going to think about diet or exercise, because what that means is we have to admit the fact that we have a problem. Or we can be beating ourselves up over the fact that it's taken us so long to begin. And if any of these negative emotions exist, if we feel bad about the choices we've made in the past, like we answered in the last question, we're beating ourselves up. If we feel bad because we're starting so late, if we feel embarrassed about where we are, it's going to be hard for us to gauge in changing that behavior and changing that part of our life. And this is true for anything, not just weight. The place that I always recommend that we start on any issue is, what's the emotion you have about the issue? So start with tapping on all of the emotions you have about the weight. And I would look in three areas. I would look in having the weight itself. Do you feel embarrassed, overwhelmed, ashamed, disappointed, like your body's let you down? And I would tap on all of those issues. Second, I would tap on any emotion that you have about how you ended up gaining the weight. Maybe you were in a really emotional place and you ate really poorly for 5 or 6 months. Or you went on vacation and you splurged a little bit. Or it's something that has persisted for a really long time. You know, it's one of those things where you gained 1 pound a year, and the next thing you know, it's 2 decades later and you got 20 extra pounds. And it wasn't this huge amount of weight that came on all at once, but over time you've just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So tap on how we feel about the weight, tap on how we got to that place. And the third thing that I would tap on is how we feel about how we've chosen to respond in the past. Now, like I said, we might feel bad that it's taken us so long to take it seriously, or disappointed for trying and failing, or feeling like our body let us down because we've done all the right things and it's not responding, or disappointed that we're not doing everything that we can, whatever those emotions are. So tap around the emotions of the weight, tap around the emotions on how the weight has gotten there, tap around the emotions on everything that's happened up to this point as we've been responding to it. And if you do that, what that's initially going to do is that's going to initially start to create some space for you to start making some different and better choices. Now, I'm not a trainer. I'm not a nutritionist. And I would really encourage you to go find someone who can walk this journey with you. And if you can find someone who specializes in weight loss tapping, you know, tap with them as well. People who are really key in and appreciate what's going on there. The next thing that I would tap on after tapping on those things is, losing weight is not a switch that we flip, you know, unless we're literally shaving the weight off of our body surgically. It's something that's going to take time. Getting in shape is something that's going to take time. Since moving to New York, I've hired a personal trainer, and 3 times a week, including this morning, she kicks my butt. And it's a much harder workout than I've done in a really long time. And in the beginning, it was painful. The first day I worked out with her, that afternoon I took a 2.5 hour nap. And that's how far gone I was. That a simple hour workout at that level was so much that it just wiped me out for the entire afternoon. And so it's important for us to recognize it is a process. It's something that's going to unfold over time. And what we need to do is we need to tap to give ourselves permission to know it's a process. And what we're going to do over time is we are going to continue to accumulate really good choices as we move forward. And if we continue to accumulate really good choices as we move forward, they add up. The exact same way a scoop of ice cream isn't going to be our downfall, but a scoop of ice cream every single day for a number of weeks will be. The positive choices can be the exact same thing. And so I always encourage folks, when they're making this sort of change, not to try to do everything at once. Do something that's manageable. And even if it's a single choice that you make every single day, I'm going to make sure I eat a piece of fresh fruit every day at lunch, if that's what you decide with, you know, appropriate help and advice is the right nutritional choice for you. I am, every single day at lunch, going to take 15 minutes and I can get one of my buddies from work and we're going to briskly take some laps around the building just to get our heart rate up, because that's a great starting point for our exercise program based on what our long-term goals are. If you simply got outside every single day and took a walk, added something nutritious to your lunch and did that for a week, that would add up to 14 really good choices, because you'd make those good choices, 2 of those choices every single day. Now let's pretend the next week, in addition to those 2 good choices, we're going to add another good choice. Maybe we're going to spend some time in the morning where we stretch a little bit to start working on our flexibility so it gets easier for us to exercise. So after week 2, what we've done is we've made 35 good choices. because we made 14 good choices the first week and 21 good choices the second week. Now let's pretend the third week, in addition to that, we decide that over the course of the day, we're going to drink 3/4 of a gallon of water because we decide that's part of our health plan and that makes sense. And we get just a nice jug and we sit it on our desk and we make sure before the workday's over, we drain it. And in addition to that, we're walking at lunch and we're having our apple and we're stretching in our morning. Well, that third week, that's 28 good choices just in that third week alone. And all of a sudden, in 3 weeks, we've made 69 really good choices. And so the good choices that we make accumulate for ourselves. And so I find it really important that whenever we're taking something that's going to take time, because it takes time to physically transform our body, it's not like an emotional issue that can be released. It's something that's going to unfold. And so to tap on that idea that this is a process and this is going to take time is something that's going to make a real difference for you. Now, if you listen carefully to that answer, you will notice that what I just talked about there will work for any issue we have. You know, there's something that's really persistent in your life. So the first step is to tap on those three areas. Tap on how we feel about where we are, kind of like tapping on how we feel about having all this extra weight. Tap on how we got to this place. That could be for weight. It could be self-esteem issues. It could be forever. Tap about how we've responded so far. What are the choices I've made? What has worked? What hasn't? How disappointed am I myself for not following through? Whatever it is. And that works for any issue, not just weight. And then the fourth step, tapping on this idea that it's a process and it's going to unfold. And I give myself permission to allow myself to do a little tapping every single day. Take pro-me choices. Choices that are about me, helping me. And allowing that process to add up. So not only planning for that, tapping on the fact that I give myself permission every single day to make a few pro-me choices. And if we do that, we're going to move forward. So that's where I would start. I'd really encourage you to go over to tappingqna.com and to search on weight loss or weight release or weight. There's a number of really great podcasts that we've done along the way. There's some really good articles, some easier steps for you to move through it. But if you start with those four things and you make a real concerted effort to tap on those, making good, healthy choices is going to be easier because your emotions are out of the way. So let me know if you have any questions or follow-up questions to that or any other questions. Again, if you're on the line, *2 will raise your hand and I will unmute you so you can ask your question. If you want to ask a question online, a few people have typed in just to say hello. They're listening. Hello back. Please feel free to add your questions over there. Let's see here. Here's another question I received earlier, and I responded to this person, but it was such a great question I thought it'd be good for us to talk about here. Do I have to say the words out loud when I'm tapping, or is simply tuning into the emotion enough? I think one of the things that holds people back when it comes to tapping is we've done such a good job of teaching people how to tap with the basic recipe and using words and using phrases and getting into it in that way that they get really hung up on saying the right words. For me, and you've probably heard me say this before, but it's good to review, the art of tapping is a little formula that I have in my head, and I imagine it when I'm teaching. It's stimulation on tapping points plus tuning into issue equals relief. Now, the stimulation on the tapping points can be tapping, like we learn. It can also be touching. It can be touching and taking deep breaths. It can be rubbing little bitty circles. It can be imagining someone tapping on it. It could be going to an acupuncturist and having them stick needles into them. But stimulus in any form. The second part, tuning in, a really easy way for us to tune in is for us to say things out loud, to say phrases. You know, I'm having a really hard time right now because I don't feel connected to the people around me, and it feels like nobody understands me. Now, when you say those phrases out loud, it's a really easy way to just tune in and really feel the emotions by giving it voice. Because when we go from feeling it to articulating it, we have to crystallize our experience. So giving things words is really valuable, saying them out loud or writing them down. But I can say something out loud. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. in such a way that it doesn't resonate at all, that I can be thinking about the laundry that needs to be done, the bills that are late, the call I have to do later. So the trick is to tune into it, and it is possible for me to fully engage, fully be connected to any issue without saying anything out loud. And so just give yourself permission to know that you don't actually have to say the words. Words are really helpful. Words are really powerful. You know, if you tap with me in a client session, oftentimes you'll be saying lots of words out loud. But that's a way to just do it and go after it. So, yeah. So that's my response to, do we need to be using the words? Again, got a question? Just type it in or press star 2 to raise your hand. Another question that was sent in ahead of time. And remember, you can always do that even if you're going to be on the call and you feel a little apprehensive about asking your question on the call. Just shoot me the note ahead of time and just say, hey, here's my question. I'm not sure if I'm going to ask it on the call, but I really want this answered. This would be great. So your current tool for this week has me concerned. For those of you who haven't checked it out, on Monday, the tool that went up on the site was a way where I was encouraging you to take the problem that you're worried about to a ridiculous extreme so that you see how silly it is. You know, an example of that would be, I'm afraid that if I speak up at work, everybody's going to laugh at me. My boss is going to think I'm stupid. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to be sleeping in the gutter. Ice caps are going to melt. Baby seals are going to die. The black plague is going to come back. So that was the example that I gave in the article as what we can do. That when we're tapping on an issue, if we take it to an extreme, sometimes we're able to put it in context. So this is the question continues. I'm afraid to use this because I'm afraid that it will become too fearful of these intense things that you're describing in the example. If it were me, I would go from losing my job to dying alone in the gutter. Can you explain how this is not likely to happen when you're working with someone? Or what would you do when that person starts to take on more intense feelings than they're already having? So it sounds like the question is, you know, if someone's really in a moment of stress, the last thing you want to do is introduce something really extreme and dramatic, because you might actually push them to more stress. Because instead of making something silly and farcical, what you're doing is you're pushing it to such an extreme that you're actually going to make the circumstance work. Now, this tool, like all of the tools that I put up on the site on Mondays, are not one-size-fit-all tools, and they're certainly not tools that we can use every single time in every single circumstance. So just because a tool's there, you know, use some discretion. This is a really great piece of concern, and you know, I hadn't thought of it in that context because this isn't a tool that I always reach for, but typically I will reach for it when, while engaging with a client, I recognize the fact that they might feel bad about it, but they're not feeling super fragile about it. It's not to such an extreme that it's going to take them over and they're going to break down with it. And so I guess the discretion that I would use with this is, if you're already feeling super emotional and super fragile and super overwhelmed with a particular issue, intensifying it in a farcical kind of way might not be the most appropriate approach. The other thing that I would recommend and I would suggest is that when you're making it ridiculous and farcical, is to do it in a way that the things that you're saying that are going wrong aren't necessarily personal. Like in the example I gave earlier in the question, baby seals dying, the ice caps melting, the black plague coming back. You know, those are things that are much, 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 much worse than what we think could go wrong, and they're impersonal. So it's easier for us to laugh at them and see how ridiculous it is. You know, I'm going to speak it in the office and I'm going to look funny and people are going to make fun of me and it's going to demoralize everyone at the workplace and the U.S. economy is going to fail. Now, that's ridiculous to think that that's actually going to happen, but it's close enough that it's going to shed some light and create some farcical sense to what we're doing, and it's going to do it in a slightly less personal way, so it's not, we are less likely to fire something off that is super, super emotional and super, super overwhelming. So that would be the recommendation I would have for that. If you have a question about that, just feel free to raise your hand. Those are all the questions that were sent in ahead of time. If you have a question you're listening in, feel free to raise your hand if you have a tapping request, or just send us a question here on the form online. There are no questions online. And there are currently no hands raised, which is okay. You know, we got 25 minutes of good instruction in there. I would encourage you in the future, no matter when you're listening to this, if a question strikes you that you want to have answered in the future call, feel free to just shoot me the question right away. Oftentimes, I'll write you back an answer and I'll include it in a call so that everybody can benefit from your question. So it's not just when I send out requests for questions. If a question comes to mind, please email it to me so that everybody can learn from that. As always, keep plugging along. Every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, new Tap Along audios are going up. Every Monday, the new tools are going up. In the newsletter that I will be sending out on Sunday or Monday, I will have the call schedule for the rest of the fall, for October, November, and December, not just for the next month. So you can plan ahead and make sure you make those calls. As always, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. I can always be reached directly at gene@tappingqa.com. Thanks for spending a little time with me tonight on this Tuesday night. Keep the questions coming. Keep after it. You're really worth taking the time to do this tapping. You're really worth the healing. For Tapping Q&A, this is Gene Montristelli. I'll talk to you guys real soon. I hope you have a great night. Good night.